Oh, पावितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण because this is a short version of the Bhagavad Katha, we're doing a short overview before we get into the topic that we need to get into. Because it's kind of an etiquette that we're doing the Katha on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in some way, shape or form, the Bhagavatam should be covered. Briefly also is okay. But then we elaborate on the issue that we have been instructed by the local temple council or board here, which is the teachings of Kulam Maharaj from Canto 11. So we did some of this show yesterday. We're just going to go over it, that there are 10 main topics that are discussed in the Srimad Bhagavatam and where they are given in the Bhagavatam itself. And we went through slides for each one. The ten of these topics also coincide with the 10 cantos. So the first canto, Sarga, as we discussed yesterday, the Sarga means the Utpatti or the starting or the production of the 24 different elements that are created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. Five of them are known as the Panch Mahabhuta. The other five are known as Panch Karmendriya. Like one of the little boy was answering yesterday. Is that little boy here today who was answering this question yesterday? Doesn't seem right. Then there are five Karmendriya, five Jnanendriya, and five Tanmatra. So the Jnanendriyas are the regular ones that we are familiar with. Ear, nose, eyes, all that. The tanmatra or the objects of senses are your rasa, dvani, just whatever you engage, taste, what you engage your senses in, the five measures. What happened here? Why did it go this way? So five Jnanendriya, five Tanmatra, five Karmendriya, and the five gross elements, and then there are three subtle elements, Sukshma Indriya, and then there is the Prakriti, or the material nature is also created by Lord Krishna. As he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. So not only the material nature works under Krishna's control, it is also produced by Krishna according to Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. So these are the 24 elements that everything else comes from. Then we talked about Visarga. Visarga is the portion of the creation that involves Lord Brahma, or Lord Brahma arranges, that is, all the species, etc. Then we discussed Sthana, the spiritual hierarchy, the maintenance of the universe by Lord Vishnu is more important than Brahma the creator or Lord Shiva the destroyer. Up to this, I think we did yesterday. So, the fourth main topic is Poshana. Bhojana is how the Supreme Personality of Godhead cares and or protects his own devotees. Actually, nobody is outside of his care and protection. But of course, his devotees get a special care. Everybody is cared for by the Supreme Personality of Godhead only. There is nobody else to care for them. Like, even all the demons are created by them. To explain that matter, we can tell you a short story. That there was this rich gentleman who had a desire to feed poor people who cannot afford full square meal. He would provide. So he took a vow that every day I will feed whoever comes to my door first in the morning before I would eat anything myself. So if there was no problem, every day more and more people found out, they came to his door and he fed them and he ate himself. But one day the king had something or the other going on and everybody went there because the king was offering a big feast and they wanted a change of taste as well. So everybody went there, there was nobody. So he sends his servant, I'm going to remain hungry because I have a vow. So if I eat, you must go find somebody to feed. Then I will eat. So the other side of the city, they found one person who was actually hungry and did not have anything to eat and he did not go anywhere. So they invited him very nicely. Please come, our Sage is inviting. You come and please honor some prasad. And then only our Sage can eat. So he came very happily. The rich man gave him the full plate of prasadam. And right away this person started to eat. So the rich man said, hold on. You don't do any prayers. You don't thank the Lord before you honor prasadam. You don't even take a little bit out for the birds and the insects and all that. What kind of a person are you? He goes, well, I don't believe in God. So you don't believe in God, this rich man was offended completely. How dare you don't believe in God? So you are not deserving of my food. Get out of here. I will stay hungry. I will not eat because that's my vow. But I will not feed you either because you are nastic and I have no tolerance for nastiness. So he did that and he remained hungry, but he was happy about himself that I did something good for Krishna, I did something good for God. That taught him a lesson and everybody will learn from that. So there he is at night trying to fall asleep and he hasn't had anything to eat all day. So the chuhe are playing kabaddi in his little tummy and he cannot fall asleep. So in his half sleepy state, Krishna comes to give him darshan. And he very happily says to Krishna, who had come in the form of Narayan, that, you know, I am very happy Although I did not eat anything today, but I am so glad that I did not let this bad man take your prasad. Because he had a nerve to tell me that he doesn't believe in you. How can somebody not believe in you? So he thought now special blessings are coming on his head from Krishna. But instead, he got something else. He got asked by Krishna, how old was this person? So, he must be about 64, 65 years of age. And Krishna asked him, you know who's been feeding him? How did he get to become 64 years of age? Who's been feeding him every meal? It is me. I know he doesn't believe in me. I have no doubt. But he's still mine. He's still my son. I have been providing him 3 square meals a day for 64 years. You could not give him 1 meal? What good are you? So, the moral of this story is not to become like that person. The moral of the story is to understand that all of his sons are dear to God. But of course, the devotees, such as you see here, who do you see there? Any child can tell? Yes. Dhruv Maharaj. And who's next to Dhruv Maharaj?
Lord Krishna.
How can you tell? You?
Because Dhruv Maharaj is the only child who went for meditation.
Way to go! But you can be the next. Then soon as we see a nice picture of somebody with Krishna, we would say, there you are. What's your name?
Rishika.
Rishika? There is Rishika. So, in the fourth canto, it is explained how Krishna takes care of the devotees by giving all kinds of benedictions to Dhruv Maharaj. Although Dhruv Maharaj came to Krishna with a motive, he wanted something. But when he got Krishna darshan, he already realized, oh my God, what I was asking for was a piece of glass. Your darshan alone is a whole diamond. I don't want glass anymore. I want real diamond. And you just gave me that. I don't need anything else. I don't need any more. I don't need anything. This is enough that you've given me your darshan. So this is the difference in worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead or worshipping any demigods or such. They will supply you what you need. Whereas when you see Krishna or Narayan, all your needs, all your desires will be satisfied and you would not want them. It's like going to somebody, a little child goes to somebody, here is $10, give me a pack of cigarettes. If there was no law like that, any shopkeeper here, take. But if the same child goes to his father, or her father, here is 10 rupees or $10, give me a pack of cigarettes. What's he going to get? $10 taken away and a slap on the head. You want a pack of cigarettes? Are you out of your mind? Get out of here. So there is difference in worshipping Krishna in the mode of goodness, or worship in the mode of goodness, or worship in passion or in ignorance. So, also in the fourth canto, you read about the pastimes of who can. No. Don't say, you're supposed to raise your hand. You already answered one. You didn't answer anything yet. So you're not supposed to tell each other. What about you? Yeah, but I wasn't asking about the man. I was asking about the lady who's next to him. Who's she? Prithu Maharaj's wife. Or consort. Sachi, close enough. Archie. Very good. So, there is a whole pastime in it, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that how, when there was a bad king who was born, who was the bad king?
Vaina.
The nature stopped producing, the earth stopped giving, and so on. Then, from the body of Vaina, Krishna incarnates himself as King Prithu, and he tills the land and he fixes everything right and rules over this planet for thousands of years to fix everything right, and then he leaves the planet. So he incarnates to fix major problems. Maybe he will come to fix our global warming problem, but it may not be a problem at all. Who really knows? So that's Poshana. In number 5, there is Uti. Uti is why the material world, why urge for creation, or even why there is the material world. As they say, duniya banane wale kya tere man mein samayi, kaha hai ye duniya banaye. Anybody knows why? Raj Kapoor doesn't know, and if he didn't read the Bhagavatam, he went wherever he went without knowing. But the Bhagavatam tells us exactly why. So, that information is mostly contained in the 5th canto. It also has as the main contents about Lord Rishabhdev, Bharat Maharaj. Details of Vedic astronomy are also there. What is the big difference in the Vedic astronomy and the today's astronomy? That we believe in? Who can tell us? Vedic geography and material geography of today. One major difference. According to the mundane or material geography today, the sun, the earth goes around the moon. Sorry, the sun. But according to Vedic astronomy, the sun actually goes around the earth. How many people can understand that? You can, and you can. And who can explain? It is not easy, because we have been brought up thinking that the sun is stationary, and the earth is going around it. But according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, the earth, although not stationary, is still turning on its own. But the sun is actually going around it rather than the earth going around the sun. And we have all kinds of proof to prove that. But how do you prove if both things are moving? Which one is moving, which one is stationary? Like if you go to India or even here, if you're on a train and you're sitting and there's the next train stopped next to you. One of the trains starts to move. You can't tell, is it my train moving or that one moving? Can't tell. Very difficult. But there's a trick, you can look at the ground.
Fix it up.
And the ground will not be moving if you're not moving. If you're moving, the ground will move also. So just by looking, two things, one moving, the other stationary. So which one is moving, which one is stationary? Because the end result is the same. It looks the same. So, with the system of understanding that the sun is moving, you have seen pictures of sun. How do you see pictures of sun? Always on a chariot. The sun is always on a chariot. And it always looks like in a moving motion, always moving according to our Vedic system. But the materialists say, no, the sun doesn't move, it's the earth that does. And everything they have worked around that it makes sense this way and that way, the seasons come and all that. But all of those things will be still the same. If this object is not moving, this one is moving. It will be all the same. The turning around, one of the movements the earth is making as well. But the sun actually makes the other movement. So, one of these days, hopefully in our lifetime, we would make the regular astronomers believe that our philosophy is correct. If you want to know more about it, you can go to the YouTube and search for Vedic astronomy. We have a film on it, which will prove to you almost beyond the shadow of doubt that the Vedic system is right. And also in Mayapur, we're building the Temple of Vedic Planetarium. It will prove in a 3D model version that how the Vedic system actually makes more sense than what the materialists will tell you. So, there is homework for you. So what happens? Bharat Maharaj goes to protect this deer, and what happens to him?
He becomes a deer.
He becomes a deer. So the next one, Canto 6, tells you about Manvantar, changing of Manus, the time divided into periods, controlled by different Manus, who teach the regulatory principles for living beings who desire to achieve perfection in human life. Not